I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One in four New York City kids living in poverty, and yet they're spending tens of millions on prepaid debit cards to the illegal immigrants. What do you think about this whole setup?
I have a problem with that, because we have people that live right here in our country, people with families and children, and they need that help. So for them to be giving it to illegal migrants or migrants that's coming into the country and giving out this free money, what about the people that live here in the United States of America?
That is a perfect question from a Harlem resident, saying, what about us? We live here. We work here. We've been paying taxes. We're trying to get by. And as you heard, it began from that Fox report, one in four children in New York City, American citizens, are living in poverty. 56% of the New York City population is right at or just above the poverty level. So when the New York City mayor and the New York governor complain about all the illegals coming in, saying it's trapping our resources, we don't have it, you apparently have it to take care of illegals. You want more federal dollars to do so, but we've yet to hear you cry out for help with your citizens who are living at or just above poverty level to help them. And those who are trapped in their situation are recognizing we're being ignored. In fact, we're being pushed aside. We're not getting the school and the education we need. We're not getting the medical help. We're not getting anything. Whereas illegals come in and immediately they're lavished. It's like a gift basket. Years ago, many of you might recall this. This happened a lot in the South. I don't know how much it happened in areas where you grew up. If you and your family moved to a new town, there was something called the Welcome Wagon. It was probably a franchise of some type that would bring you various coupons and items from various merchants that wanted you to shop at their store. Maybe a notice from an appliance salesman that 20% off for any appliance you want if you buy in the next 30 days after you arrive in the city. Or coupons for food or actual food, cans of food, things of that nature from a local supermarket who would hope that you would end up doing all your shopping with them. That was obviously well before the internet and the ability for them to tag into your phone simply because you're within blocks. Hey, there's a special on pizza today, and they know you're there. But the Welcome Wagon was kind of a way to get people involved in the community and help the local people. We have a welcome wagon and a welcome mat for illegals, but we're ignoring Americans. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, February 26, 2024. Second hour of Larry Connors USA. Back to back for you here, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, after we finish, the Rob Carter Show follows. And also reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And, of course, you miss anything, you simply pull up the audio and our video podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And when you do, please do share with others. I would appreciate it. And they would, too, once they learn about the program. So the situation of the sanctuary cities and states, the progressives were all about it, said we have to welcome people. We are a nation built of immigrants. That I agree with. I don't know of anyone who could disagree with it. But even Obama, and before him, Bill Clinton said, we're still a nation of laws. You must do it legally. We have 1 million a year we bring into the nation legally. And they had to go through all kinds of steps and efforts to do it. Sometimes it comes down to, you know, we got 5,000 from your country who want to come here, and we're going to just hold a lottery. If your number gets pulled, you get to come, and maybe your family or a couple of members, however they decide to do it. In Canada, if you're going to live in Canada, you want to be an immigrant to go to Canada, you have to basically prove you're going to be a contributor to society, not a leech. Now, many of those who've come across the border might well end up contributing in various ways. They are their children. I don't want you to take the attitude that every illegal is a violent criminal. Yes, they are a criminal because they broke our law to come across the border to come into our country. But, of course, the Biden administration has basically already given them a parole so they can roam about the country and do what they will, and that includes killing, stealing, arson, drugs. And before this segment is over, we'll focus on one of the more recent cases catching attention, and rightly it should. But I want you to listen to a pastor from Chicago, because they've had, obviously, issues up there for some time with the illegals coming in. This is Pastor Andre Smith. He is the CEO of Chicago Against Violence. He is running as a state representative that would represent that part of Chicago. And he said, again, when it comes to our nation, we have laws.
We are a nation of laws. And if we're a nation of laws, every person that enter into our state or into our nation, our county, our country, our city, they have to follow the law. You can't break the law, come in because someone decides to wake up and call a state, a county, or a city sanctuary. Sanctuary city, sanctuary state. There's a law that has to be passed. And that's why we have the issues that we are facing now, massive destructions in cities, facing sanctuary cities that buses are coming through.
That's right. And do you remember when Trump was in office and you had California and other cities and states, Chicago, Illinois, New York, D.C., all proclaiming, we'll be a sanctuary, we'll take care of you, and now they don't want to. And remember, he said, if you do that, we will cut off federal funding. And immediately there was an uproar. How dare you threaten us with cutting off federal funding? Well, in part because, not just because of the violence, but the idiocy. For instance, one Venezuelan migrant posting over the weekend that he admits, I'm here to not work, I'm here to vacation. It's a vacay for me. He brags about how he's able to live off taxpayers. He said, I make my money because of people who would give me some money. And then maybe some other way. And then he's trying to get his 300,000 followers on his social media outlet to help a 15-year-old who is charged with shooting a tourist in Times Square. And he said, we need to let this young Venezuelan feel he's not alone during these moments. An entire nation is on top of him instead of helping him. What about helping the tourist who was shot? And back to Chicago and the state of Illinois. The state is a sanctuary state by its own definition and decision. And they just didn't think it would come to what we're seeing right now, obviously. And the current mayor, Brandon Johnson, says, hey, the problems we're having right now, you really got to blame, he won't mention Biden directly, but he will point to the governor of Illinois.
My administration has responded to this humanitarian mission with the full force of government. You know, what Governor Abbott is doing is, quite frankly, it's reckless. Sending buses all over the state of Illinois and all over the country is reckless and, quite frankly, is dangerous.
I blame Brandon Johnson for continuing to silence the people, the registered voters, and not allowing us to vote whether we want a sanctuary city or not, and telling people that there's more than enough when there's clearly not enough. This is a disaster, and that's why he's facing panic attacks as we speak. You know, he's going in and out of the hospital because he bit more off than he can chew. So when I become the next state rep, I'm going to make sure that we recall the mayor.
Well, that'd be great. And again, that Chicago pastor is running for state rep to do so. The cost of 8 to 12 million illegals is not just a cost in money and resources, you know that, but obviously in lives, fentanyl poisonings, opiate overdoses, children being trafficked, sold into sex dens, and who knows what happens to them. And last check, we had something like 300,000 children that came in this nation. We don't know where they are. We don't know if they're even alive. But there's a recent case that's now catching national attention.
Americans know better. They absolutely know better. They know where the responsibility lies. 10 million reasons why we should fire Joe Biden this year. 10 million people across the border illegally under his watch. This is an admission of guilt, though, on the White House's stance as they move towards some type of an executive action to secure the border.
But what did he do with his executive actions to unwind it?
Well, he did over 90 actions to unwind it, but now he's moving forward. You wait, the State of the Union is going to say, I'm going to, the kindness of my heart, I'm going to secure the border. It's an admission of guilt. He could have done it all along.
Yeah,
Americans know that.
And why isn't he doing the executive action now?
Yesterday.
Why wait? Right, yesterday. Why wait until the State of the Union?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I do. Senator Roger Marshall, Kansas. It's all politics. He wants to do a grandstand March 7th, State of the Union. And of course, one of the things that he'll be facing is an audience that knows a young nurse was killed in Georgia the other day. And all of us want to know what is going to be done about that story.
An illegal immigrant charged with the murder of a 22-year-old Georgia nursing student, Lakin Riley, is the Venezuelan who reportedly crossed illegally into El Paso back in 2022 and was released into the U.S. on parole.
What happens in the system is when Border Patrol encounters people like this from wherever they are, they do the best they can, right? Everybody's fingerprinted into the system. That system is checked against the holdings that are in the United States. And that's important. Those are the holdings that the FBI and the databases that the states produce for people who have been previously arrested. This is the idea, well, of all the risk that we face when you have an out-of-control, chaotic border.
Yeah, and it's going to continue that way. But Biden says now he's got a plan. What would that be? That would be to shut the border. We continue to have the Democrats and progressives say, we've got to fix the entire immigration system. I know that. But you're getting ready to get on the highway with your children in the car, and you've got a flat tire. Now, you've got other issues in the car. The air conditioner's not working great. It's making some kind of noise. You can't figure out what it is. You're not sure the speedometer's reading right. But your bigger issue is that flat tire before you get on the highway. But no, we've got to fix everything. Everything, even if it won't affect the driving ability. These people are just all over the place, and they will not accept the blame that should go with it. I want you to hear from a couple of previous acting deputy ICE directors as to what happened to this young nurse in Georgia the other day and why we're not going to see justice anytime soon.
This young lady suffered a terrible death, a violent death, fighting for her life. Another U.S. citizen family is going to bury their child because of this open border. They're going through hell because this government has failed them. We got to save lives, and you do that by securing the border.
I mean, we have opened the borders to, and I'm not saying everybody that comes across the border is a terrible person, but there's a high enough percentage, the risk is so high that it's unacceptable. We're getting gang members from Venezuela. We're getting MS-13. I think some countries are actually emptying their prisons like Castro did in 1980 onto the United States. And they come from lawless places. They have no respect for the rule of law or police or authorities. And they pretty much do whatever they please. They live in an underground society. That alone, you know, is a criminal act. I mean, everything's black market. So, you know, criminals, spies, terrorists. And we just, it's a self-inflicted wound on this country.
Again, those are two former acting ICE directors recognizing this does not work. But I got today, as I often sign up for and agree, go ahead and give me the slap in the face. Good morning, Larry. This is your New York Times report for today, what we'll be covering. And it starts out talking about we'll be covering Biden's forthcoming immigration policy. And it begins an about face. That's pretty harsh language to use against a president. An about face. And points out then in the second sentence, President Biden has come to recognize that the surge of undocumented immigration during his presidency is a threat to his reelection. He knows most voters are unhappy. No kidding. And there's something else I want to add from the New York Times this morning as they're now pointing out how Biden is suddenly awake and aware. And that was the case that you heard the former deputy ICE directors talking about, the Georgia nursing student, Lakin Riley, who was killed the other day. The man now being charged, and I will remind you, he's charged, not convicted. But the man who is now being charged was arrested by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol September 8, 2022. He was entering the U.S. illegally near El Paso. They questioned him, and pending a review of his immigration case, they release him. Just like they're doing with everyone else down there. He was arrested a little over a year later by New York City police, charged in acting in a manner to injure a child. Not any more specific than that. But we know what he did, according to the allegations to this young nursing student who was Dean's List student and decided to go to nursing school. She died of blunt force trauma. Went out for a run, and her body found in a wooded area. And the things he did to her are more than just beat her to death, and you know that. That young lady would be alive today if that guy, if he's the one who did it, was not in the country. I might be giving him too much allowance for what he did or did not do. But I do know others have been convicted. They came in the country illegally. I want to add some additional points on the New York Times. Good morning, Larry. That's how Biden is doing now, an about face, because he's recognizing this was a bad decision. You don't want to miss that. Still to come. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so let's go back to this issue I had with the Good Morning Report and slap of the face I get on a daily basis from the New York Times because I sign up and ask for it. Say, sure, slap me in the face every morning with the latest you're going to do. And as I said in the last segment, I was pointing out that they said we're covering Biden's forthcoming immigration policy change as well as other issues. But it begins by saying an about face, which suggests Biden is actually going to turn around and do an about-face on what he has been doing regarding our nation's immigration. Does that mean close the border? I don't think it does, but it may have some veiled reference to it. We'll have to find out once we see what it is. But the other point being, he wants to wait. Why wait if you've got something that'll be working that you could put together right now? And for me, it's as simple as shutting down the border. Nobody comes across. But here's something that they had hidden inside this New York Times report. They're pointing out, let me see, they have tried to even, they say, New York Times, the Biden administration has tried to downplay or even deny politics contributed to the migration increase. Yet the officials' recent actions suggest they may not even believe their own denials. Well, kudos to the New York Times for calling that out. They state the clearest sign is that the administration is now considering policies that would undo some of its initial loosening of immigration rules. One potential policy would restrict their ability to claim asylum if they first crossed into the U.S. illegally, rather than using the established asylum process. Biden would cite the 1952 Immigration and Nationality Act, which allows the president to suspend immigration for anyone, quote, detrimental to the interest of the U.S. So when Joe Biden tells you Congress has to make this happen, I can't do it, well, right there, you've got a 1952 ruling that says you can as president. And when it comes to presidential power, that's when, of course, the migration, illegal migration, surged. And then they point out, this is interesting, it's fallen when he's put in place more modest policies. For example, after the Biden administration persuading Mexico to enforce its own immigration laws more forcefully, he did that back in December, the number of illegals crossing the southern border fell 50% in January. There's another reason for that, and I'll explain in a moment. Because they want you to believe, as they write here at the bottom line, Biden does have the power to reduce the very high migration levels of the past 3 years. This is the New York Times telling him, you do have the authority and power. And it adds, it's also true that he has been slow to do so. And then the concluding sentence on this part from the New York Times, it's also true that an enduring solution to the country's immigration problems will require Congress to pass legislation. Okay, as I said, that's the big box we get into. Right now, take care of the flat wheel we have, shut down the border. And when they point out how the immigration numbers fell off after Joe Biden went and talked to the president of Mexico, it wasn't because of that in January. Because many were coming across the border, the Rio Grande, into Texas. Governor Abbott shut down that, first trying the buoys in the water. Federal government fought him on that to get them out. Then he put razor wire along the border line. They fought him to get those out, so he moved them back to state land or private lands. So the surge is not coming as it had been through Texas. If they're going to, they got to go farther east, or rather west from that location. Arizona, still seeing a lot. But there's been an outpouring going into California. Cartels are driving up almost on an hourly basis, dropping off illegals, then driving away to go pick up more. And they're sneaking through an area, well, not even sneaking away. They're just crossing over into California. It's a sanctuary state. And, of course, don't forget how many are coming not from Mexico, or the triangle of states below Mexico, nor even South America. They're coming from all around the world. And we have no way to properly vet them. We don't know what their intent is, where they are once they come into the country. Now, Biden has said he is going to unveil a new immigration policy, or at least he's claiming it will resolve a lot of things, at his State of the Union address next month. That's March 7. Well, now the former House Freedom Caucus chair, Congressman Scott Perry, is calling on Speaker Mike Johnson to stop Biden from giving that address. Perry said during an appearance on Fox News today, Republicans should use the opportunity to ramp up pressure on Biden over the southern border. He said, we need to use every single point of leverage. The president comes at the invitation of Congress. Republicans control the House. There's no reason we need to invite him to get more propaganda and for him to actually use the opportunity to blame the American people for the crisis he's caused. House Republicans, of course, did reject bipartisan legislation Biden wanted because it also tied Ukraine money and money for Israel that's clearly needed. And, of course, you have the left saying, well, they're being controlled by Donald Trump. He's pulling the strings. Well, for those who agree with him, yes. Who's pulling the strings for Joe Biden? The Squad? Who's the puppeteer? Obama? Now, Perry's suggestion that we not have a State of the Union address on March 7, just for more propaganda, would be a break from history, but it's not the first time an annual address has been caught up in political fights. May I remind you, then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delayed President Trump from delivering his 2019 State of the Union speech because of a partial government shutdown that January. Trump eventually delivered the speech weeks later. Pelosi did not introduce him, again breaking from tradition, And how many of you remember her sitting behind him when he's done, taking his script and tossing it like that? I don't forget it, do you? Now, she was upset because Republicans would not go along with Trump in particular with what they wanted to do to spend more money. We're back at that point again right now. We are possibly looking at, again, reported government shutdown. Here's Maria Bartiromo.
Do you expect a partial shutdown on March 8th?
Good morning, Maria. Well, I certainly hope not. I think, unfortunately, the probability is 0.01%. I doubt that my colleagues will unite to really do what I think we should do, which is prioritize funding our own government and, frankly, securing our own border. And the only way we're going to get that is if we send over something that does fund our government at the levels agreed to in the Fiscal Responsibility Act. That passed 2/3 of the House, 2/3 of the Senate. Joe Biden signed it. While the Four Corners has said we want a different deal, the body of the House, the body of the Senate hasn't voted on that. And we should stick to what we already agreed to with the Fiscal Responsibility Act.
The Fiscal Responsibility Act. Now, again, you were listening then in response to the question to Ohio Congressman Warren Davidson. I'm looking at a piece from the Washington Post stating leaders in Congress slipped Sunday in their last-minute scramble to head off a looming government shutdown, a deadline that could shutter vital services at the Transportation Department, strain food stamp programs, put housing assistance for millions of families in jeopardy, and with some federal funding set aside to expire in less than a week, House Republican policy demands on issues ranging from LGBTQ rights and abortion to national security concerns on immigration and competition from China have slowed talks that appear to be close to a breakthrough. So lawmakers abandoned tentative plans to announce legislative texts on a deal last night. Instead, they are saying privately, there will probably be another temporary spending extension to avert a partial shutdown that could ripple into the wider economy. And again, this is the Washington Post, the way it's looking at it, pointing out roughly 20% of the federal government will close March 2nd unless there's some kind of action. A deadline for the remaining 80% will happen a week later. We have passed stopgap spending legislation three times since September 30, all because of these funding debates. As Republicans, conservatives try to get a hold on, we've got to quit spending, and we need to reallocate what we are spending, and we need to pull back some of what we have been spending. But I'm looking at the Washington Post, and I certainly would care about nutrition program for women, infants, and children. That's WIC. I care about that. We want air traffic controllers. They would remain on the job but be unpaid. But also remind you that everyone that does not get paid during that time does end up getting paid when they all come back together. There will be some programs that should be continued. I want to make sure children and women have the food and the money they need. But, of course, we're also spending a hell of a lot on illegals. You think there's any give from the Democrats? Oh, no. Oh, no. We got more on that still to come. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
One in four New York City kids living in poverty, and yet they're spending tens of millions on prepaid debit cards to the illegal immigrants. What do you think about this whole setup?
I have a problem with that, because we have people that live right here in our country, people with families and children, and they need that help. So for them to be giving it to illegal migrants or migrants that's coming into the country and giving out this free money, what about the people that live here in the United States of America?
That is a woman who is a resident of Harlem, one of the poorest areas of New York City. And she said, I have a problem with them giving all this to the illegals and ignoring us who are trying to make it here. You heard the stat, one in four New York City children, one in four, are living in poverty. 56% of the entire New York City population is at or just above poverty level. So you know how many are suffering. And yet in New York City, they have this program that's going to provide, is providing prepaid debit cards to at least 500 illegal families who are sheltering in the city hotels. Now, look, they're here. They're in your city. You don't want to put them in a hotel and starve them to death. But when you're considering that, remember you invited the issue because you wanted to be a sanctuary city and a sanctuary state. You were advertising that. That's why so many thought, I want to go to the New York, the Big Apple. They thought more opportunity would await them there than Pecos, Texas, and it probably would. But there's also a piece I want to share with you that's going to point something else out. Now, this particular story is written by David North, and it was written for the CIS.org. And now I can't get it to recharge for me here to find out exactly, but this is the Urban Institute that records how much money New York City, New York State, used of taxpayers' dollars to go to illegals. And it says New York State squandered $2.1 billion to keep illegals in the U.S. when it should have used the money to send them home and in style. You can certainly send them first class to that extent. A recent report by the Urban Institute records a payment of $2.1 billion by New York State taxpayers to illegal aliens, and much of that indirectly went to landlords, not to the illegals. But if a landlord is hosting and having illegals, he's still got to be paid, so the government steps in and do it. Otherwise, he will evict them. And according to this same report, U.S. taxpayers routinely spending untold billions of dollars a year to enforce the immigration law. And as I stated, New York taxpayers spending 2.1 to help 128,000 continue to live in New York City. And then you have this story that might set you back. The Epoch Times has a story dating the 24th of this month, 2 days ago, and said the former director of Panama's Border Patrol told the Epoch Times that the UN's migration agenda, the United Nations migration agenda, is behind the chaos at the U.S. southern border, and our UN partners are making things worse instead of better. The UN, which we contribute to. Oriel Ortega is being cited. He's a security and defense consultant to the Panamanian president, and he said in an interview that he saw a jump in migration in 2016 at the time more non-governmental organizations moved into Panama. That increase corresponded with UN's Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration meeting they held in 2016. And 2 years later, 152 nations, including Panama, voted in favor of the compact to manage global migration. The U.S. voted against it. We were in the Trump era. But under the UN, the migration process continued, but has been anything but orderly. He said it's completely opposite right now. Documents show that in 2023, a record 500,000 migrants traveled through that dense jungle known as the Darien Gap from Colombia into Panama. See, migrants from around the world were flying into South and Central America and then starting their journey forward, because Ecuador, for instance, didn't require a visa to enter. Their final destination was to be the U.S. Did you not know that Ecuador does not require a passport for you to enter? No, you can go down there. You may have trouble getting out, but you can go down. There's a book written by Kelly Greenhill titled Weapons of Mass Migration, Forced Displacement, Coercion, and Foreign Policy. And she suggests that weaker countries are using migration to destabilize more powerful adversaries. Well, there you have it right there. The UN's taking part in it. China and Russia are active to have our borders overwhelmed, destabilize our nation. Joseph Humeyer is the executive director of the Center for a Secure Free Policy, and he said, this is what we're seeing at the southern border right now. And he said, this is not a conspiracy theory. The invasion at our southern border is, quote, strategically engineered migration. They saw the problem happen in Europe, Germany in particular, but now when the UN begins to step up and has these NGOs, these non-government organizations, are coming in to help facilitate illegals get from Ecuador or wherever they are into the U.S., and they're making a lot of money off of that. They may be just taking the money from whoever's paying it at that point, and then they're turning them loose and said, you're on your own. We'll put you in touch with the cartel. Then you're going to have to pay more money still to get to the U.S. if you do. In fact, the report continues, even Mr. Ortega, who is calling all this out and said this is a chaos created by the UN, he said instead of helping, these NGOs are actually being part of the problem. He said it's not the migrants themselves that are creating a national threat. It is the organized crime and these international organizations. He pointed out that in one camp in Panama, migrants get access to a large number of maps provided by the non-government organizations. And on those maps are detailed migration routes heading to the U.S. And one, I hate to point this out, but I don't try to sugarcoat anything for you, is from a group called HIAS, H-I-A-S. This NGO recently received $11 million from the U.S. in two grants awarded for helping Latin American migrants. HIAS is the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Now, do they think they're doing God's work in helping these folks get there? They show the migration map from Colombia to Costa Rica, detailed bus stops, temperatures, altitudes, migration kiosk locations. And Epic Times went into some of those migrant camps, four different ones, and they found many of those living there waiting to get out and head north had infections, injuries, the water untreated. They lacked all basic items, even diapers for their babies. The NGOs were not educating or helping the migrants. They were just stationing them and then telling them, here's a route you take. And in the meantime, taking dollars, a lot of it. The story of how these NGOs are ripping off the taxpayer will never be fully documented. But we do know that last year, the U.S. and other agencies assisting migrants, according to a U.S. government spending database, spent nearly $1.3 billion given directly to the UN and groups like the Hebrew Association that's helping migrants. We're giving $1.3 billion, a U.S. taxpayer, to these NGOs to help illegals get to our country and our border. And, of course, then we have that horrific death over the weekend, Friday, of the young nursing student in Georgia, just out for a jog, trying to stay healthy, on the dean's list, looking forward to become a nurse, maybe even a doctor, to help people. And police say she was attacked viciously in various ways and killed by an illegal from Venezuela. And the Venezuelan president, even if we decided we're going to deport this guy and send him back to Venezuela, they won't take him. They don't want anybody returned. Well, in another part of the world, there is news that the Palestinian organization might take a new approach to Israel Is that true or is it just a hoax?
Welcome back. In a Fox News alert, the Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority resigning, yep, setting up for a new government in the West Bank as war against America's greatest ally in the Mideast, Israel, still rages. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu joins us live from Jerusalem with an update. I guess the breaking news is this. The cabinet, Mr. Prime Minister, thanks for joining us, has agreed to offer their resignation, but Mahmoud Abbas hasn't agreed to accept it. If they do resign, does that pave the way for an acceptable two-state solution?
No, well, first of all, I think that's musical chairs. They haven't had an election in the Palestinian Authority for 17 years, so they're just shuffling chairs.
He's absolutely right. Shuffling chairs on the Titanic, or in this case, in the PLO. They're still going to control everything. They're not doing anything to get rid of Hamas and dismantle them. They're showing no signs of at all of changing their attitude toward Jews or Israelis, the state of Israel. And in fact, they have made it clear, according to Netanyahu, they do not want a two-state solution. Yasser Arafat had an opportunity to move ahead with that when he headed up the PLO. He didn't. He rejected it. Because they knew to even move into that territory would put him at the target end of a sniper's rifle inside his own group. The PLO, according to Netanyahu, and I fully agree with them, they want not a two-state solution. They want a one-state. No. That would not be Israel. The one state would be all Palestine. A compromise is only as good as the credibility of the one on the other side of the table. And their willingness to accept some things that they don't want in order that you get what you want. That's a compromise. We make compromises in life various times in various ways daily. Some are very small and indifferent. You know, it's they don't have that soup tonight. Okay, I'll take that one. That's indifferent, right? But a compromise with a mortal enemy has to be done in such a way that they do not get control of you. And Netanyahu is smart enough to know what the PLO really wants. He said, this is what's going to be needed for real peace in the Middle East.
The real thing we want to see is genuine de-radicalization. They have to stop teaching their children to become terrorists. They have to stop paying terrorists based on the amount of Jews they kill. They have to stop teaching and indoctrinating a whole generation on the annihilation of Israel. That's real reform. That so far has not happened. I hope it does happen, but it so far hasn't happened.
And it's going to take more than hope or even prayer. It's going to take action. And, of course, as far as closing our border, that could be easily done here. And we know that many of the enemies of Israel are coming across our border to cause mayhem, destruction, and death inside our nation. We also know many Chinese have been sent here, military-age men, not for vacation, but to be ready. And Biden says, I have a new plan. In other words, I will turn around and consider doing what Trump had done, remain in Mexico. But I'm not going to announce it until March 7th, State of the Union. How many more deaths will happen before then? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.